What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the WWE on Fox SmackDown Roundup. I'm your host, as always, Ryan Satin. Well, I'm going to try and bring the energy today, y'all, but I can't lie. I'm a little run down. I stayed up too late while my wife was out of town playing WWE 2K23, which is a fantastic game. You should be checking it out if you're a video game person. I get real stuck on that My GM mode where I keep saying to myself, oh, just one more show. And then it's super late. And then last night, I was at the launch party for 2K23, also 316 day, partied a little bit. So, yeah, I'm here though. I'm here and I watched SmackDown and I loved it. There was lots of good stuff on SmackDown this week. Before I get to SmackDown, I mentioned 316 day and the launch event. Make sure that next week you're back here for Out of Character episode 100. I cannot be more excited for you all to see it. We got the coolest guest, my favorite wrestler of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin, talking with him about his return to the ring last year, what went into that, how he felt about the match, and what he had to say when I asked if that's the last match that we'll ever see him in. So, this coming Wednesday, don't forget, Out of Character with Stone Cold Steve Austin, episode 100. Woo! I'm excited for that. But let's get to SmackDown. We're not there yet. That's next week. We still got two more podcasts before then. We got this SmackDown roundup. We got a Raw roundup next week. But SmackDown is what we are here to discuss today. The show began with Cody Rhodes out first. Cody said he has the utmost respect for Roman Reigns and that he's looking forward to beating him at WrestleMania. But right now, he wants to speak with Kevin Owens, who he asks to come to the ring. Once Kevin gets to the ring, he says it's not a conversation for two people, it's for three, and welcomes Sami Zayn to the ring. Cody then said he has respect and love for Kevin, since Kevin helped him when he walked away from WWE years ago, and Kevin bettered his livelihood. Of course, for those of you who didn't understand what he was talking about then, it's well documented that Kevin Owens is the one that got Cody Rhodes in touch with the Young Bucks, who then formed, you know, who then got in that crew with, and then obviously that led to the creation of AEW. So obviously, this was a little wink to that. And like I said, I've said a couple times in the build to this match, I really think it's been smart to kind of wink to some of those AEW things involving Cody, because it really does play into the fact that we're seeing an AEW versus WWE dream match at WrestleMania. Kevin says that he's heard everything Sami had to say these last few weeks, but Sami says back that he hasn't heard everything Kevin has to say. Sami explains that he can't understand what makes this time different than all the other times they've turned on each other. And then, of course, all those other times where they were able to make amends, so why can't they make amends now? We can be the ones who take down the ones. He says, we don't even have to be friends. We can just take them down. And Kevin said that he's heard Sami for weeks say that they don't have to be friends in order to take down the bloodline. But why would he fight for someone who doesn't even want to be his friend? Then Kevin walked to the back while Sami and Cody looked confused. But then after the break, Sami caught up with Kevin in the parking lot. And Sami said that none of this bloodline stuff matters and that Kevin is wrong. They'll always be friends. More than that, they're brothers. And if you never want to talk to me again, that's fine, but I love you. An unhappy KO then gets into a car and drives off. But you can tell he's conflicted when he gets into that car to drive off. All right, so what did I think about all this? We're going to get to more at the end of the show. Obviously, if you're listening to this, there's a good chance you already know how the show ended. But I did feel as though this did a fantastic job of making their reunion makes sense, because you could see this whole time in the story that Kevin Owens' character was just hurt. Like, Kevin Owens was trying to get his best friend to help him out, and his best friend continually said no, screw you. He even embarrassed him on national TV. It's possible, if you look at this, the character of Kevin Owens, that might be the most embarrassed his character has ever been on TV. That he let Sammy one-up him in this feud with someone that he's been hating for years now. So it actually makes a lot of sense that Kevin Owens was hesitant to be friends with Sami Zayn again and help him, even though he has turned on Sami Zayn numerous times in the past. I think it plays into their story that Sami was like the nice one who was always willing to give Kevin a second chance. And I think that Kevin is not necessarily, you know, the quote-unquote nice one of the two. And I think that it does take his character I understand why it took some convincing for his character. I also think that this whole opening thing here was smart in the fact that they really haven't shied away from including Cody in all of this. Cody bringing Sammy and Kevin back together, you know, helping to be that mediator so that Sammy could finally tell Kevin, no, like, I do care about you. I love you, man. You're my brother. It only makes you like the Cody character more. You're like, okay, well, Cody is the reason why these two were finally able to get past their beef. So it makes you like Cody, and it makes you want to see these two guys reform their friendship. And it also makes it believable for the Kevin Owens character to accept and move forward, because it's when you got someone who you've been around that long telling you, like, hey, man, BS aside, all this aside, you're my brother, I love you. It's kind of hard to not forgive that. Like, and so I like stories that reasonably make sense when it's all logical things that would happen in real life. And that's kind of how I felt watching this. It was all, like, things that you would logically see happen in a friendship where two people have fallen out to some degree over some misunderstanding. So I liked Cody being involved in all of this. I liked the way this was done to get us to the end of the show, to get us to that big reunion point. Everyone played their part perfectly. Cody as the mediator, Sammy as the guy being like, who's almost like us. Hey, everyone has seen us turn on each other a million times. What's the deal? And Kevin to kind of explain what's been holding him back this whole time, to show that he's actually just been hurt. He's a human being who's been hurt by his friend, and sometimes, like, those friendships are hard to mend. So I liked all this. I really liked all this. We'll get to my thoughts on the what happened at the end when we get there, but I think WWE has really been handling this story perfectly. Really, really enjoyed how they've handled this story. I really was, you know, you've heard me, if you've listened to this show every week, you've heard me wonder, like, how are they going to get to a believable point where Kevin and Sammy are on the same side again and Jimmy and Jay are on the same side again? And they did it. You know, you can go back and listen to some of the podcasts where I was like, God, it almost feels like we're not going to get there. But now that we are getting there, well played by everyone involved. Shows that sometimes they know a lot more than us. Dominic and Rhea versus Santos Escobar and Zelina Vega took place after that. Rhea and Zelina have great chemistry in the ring together. We need to get back to seeing more of Zelina wrestling. I saw a tweet. You know what? I don't want to not give credit to this person who said it, because it was a good suggestion. It's at Who Is Vindicative, and they said, give us Zelina versus Rhea in Puerto Rico for Backlash. Yeah. Dude, the chemistry between Rhea and Zelina here was fantastic. Zelina was refreshed, ready to go in the ring, and just the vibe of, like, you know, her cruiserweight, smaller style with a base such as Rhea Ripley, plays well together. And I liked how they played off of each other. I would definitely like to see more between the two of them down the line once Rhea is champion. I think that doing it in Puerto Rico makes all the sense in the world. Zelina was already talking about how much it would mean to her, you know, just to wrestle at that Puerto Rico show. Legado have turned face. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer to do that feud in, have that match in Puerto Rico. But Rhea eventually hit the riptide on Zelina for the win. After the match, Dom got on the mic to continue bashing Rey in hopes of getting a match against him at WrestleMania. Rey was then shown walking to the ring on screen, and after the commercial, came out to talk with Dom. Rey says he might not have always been there, but he still loves Dom, whether Dom believes that or not. But soon, his son will find out that this business is selfish and that he did what he could do. He did what he did to provide a life for Dom that he didn't have growing up. Rey starts to get emotional and says he would love nothing more than to have Dom standing by his side on the Hall of Fame stage, but Dom clearly doesn't seem interested. So Rey calls him disrespectful, pathetic, and a punk-ass kid, and says he would gladly whoop someone like Dominic's ass at WrestleMania, but he just can't do that with his own son. Fighting you would be the biggest disgrace as a father. Dom asks, why not? Because you're doing what you do best and running away. And once again, Rey stands at the top of the ramp looking unhappy about the situation. I agree. Okay, so I enjoyed what I saw here because I really do enjoy watching Dom just berate Rey Mysterio for being a deadbeat dad. He's so passionate about it. And it's entertaining to me, and to hear the crowd just so badly want Rey Mysterio to beat his child in front of them. I hate how much I'm entertained by that thought of just how silly all this is, that we as the WWE Universe just want to see Rey Mysterio beat his child in front of us. But so just the silliness of that, it makes me laugh and it keeps me entertained. But I do think that I agree with some of the people who are saying that they've kind of been doing the same thing over and over again here now. Like, this needs to take it into the next gear. And I understand if they are waiting for the Hall of Fame to do the final angle there. I get that. But, I mean, we've kind of been doing this on both shows now for a minute. I would like to see it kicked up a notch somehow. A threat, maybe from Dominic, to say like, okay, well, if you don't do it and you're at the Hall of Fame ceremony, you don't want to see what I'm going to do to the family dog. I don't know. Well, Pepe, I don't know. just something. Like, I feel like we need something. We get it. Dominic is mad that Rey is deadbeat dead. We get it. Rey doesn't want to fight his son. We get it. But we've kind of been doing it. We've gone back to that same well for a minute now. So I wouldn't mind a little upping the ante as we get closer to WrestleMania to make you think that there's something besides just the Hall of Fame ceremony that could be the thing that pushes Rey over the edge. Because clearly Dominic's not going to push him over the edge with his words. We've seen that for weeks now. So let's see him try something else. I think that would be the most fruitful option. Next, we had Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Tegan Nox and Emma. The winners earn a spot in a fatal four-way tag match at WrestleMania. I couldn't tell if it was on the pre-show or not. My dogs were barking over the TV, and I can't rewind when it's on the app. Fox Sports app, make sure you have it. That's where I watch SmackDown. Liv Morgan and Raquel won this one. Nothing much to it. I was a little confused as to where the team of Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez came from. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Liv Morgan just slapping Raquel Rodriguez in the face a few weeks ago on SmackDown before they had a match? I was like, why are they suddenly cool with each other now for no reason other than just to get them both on the WrestleMania card? Now, I will say, both of these two should be on the WrestleMania card. Raquel's had a great year, but Liv Morgan has had the biggest year of her career. She should be in a match. I'm actually a little disappointed that it's only going to possibly be on the pre-show in this, you know, in this the four-way tag match, which doesn't even seem to be for the tag titles. So I wasn't thrilled at that aspect. Felt very thrown together at the last minute. However, I do want to see Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez on the WrestleMania card. So I'm going to shut my mouth here and say that I'm at least happy that they're going to be on the WrestleMania card. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then I'll be back with my thoughts on the rest of this week's SmackDown in just a moment. All right, so Charlotte Flair comes out next to talk about her WrestleMania match with Rhea. Said that it's funny how as a kid in pro wrestling, it was always Rhodes as a challenger and Flair as a champion at big events. Now it's 2023, and at WrestleMania, it's once again Rhodes as a challenger and Flair as a champion. Some things just never change. Says Rhea needs to go through her to become a champion, but just like 3 years ago, she won't be able to because the more things change, the more they stay the same. Rhea then makes her entrance looking pissed off. She's pretty angry and tells Flair that Flair's right. There's a reason she chose Charlotte over Bianca. When she walks through the halls, all she sees is fear in people. But when she looks at Charlotte, that isn't the case, and it pisses her off. You're one of the biggest stars here in WWE, and I can give you all the credit in the world, but that SmackDown Women's Championship is something I want. She then says, when it's all said and done, and she's the champion after WrestleMania, Charlotte will finally fear her. Charlotte gets pushed down, and Rhea starts walking to the back, but Flair goes on the attack ringside, and a brawl breaks out. Charlotte elbows a security guard and hits another with a big boot. Then Rhea tossed her over the announce desk. Charlotte got on top of the announce desk and dove off of it onto Rhea and another security guard. Rhea then took out security guards and charged at Flair over the barricade into the crowd. Charlotte finally made her way back into the ring afterward and held up the title while Rhea was held back by officials in the crowd. All right, this was so needed. I've been saying on these podcast that I felt like the builds to the women's title matches had been very lackluster. Felt like they were just kind of like copy and pasting the same segment over and over again, or really just kind of expecting you to care without there being any further emotional investment. It's just beyond who's wrestling who. With Asuka and Bianca, there's just been, you know, quote-unquote mind games from Asuka after the match, which isn't really that, like, entertaining to watch. At least not, these ones have not been, in my opinion. And with Charlotte and Rhea, we get it. They wrestled at WrestleMania before. They kept talking about that. But I did feel as though more was needed. I wanted to see a little bit extra to take this up a notch, kind of like I had said about Rey and Dominic, how it's been a lot of the same. And this was finally something different. Like, this was adding a lot of fire to their match. I mean, you got the brawl, the promos, the, like, Rhea saying she needs to be a star, and the only way she can do that is by taking down Charlotte Flair. Makes all the sense in the world. And beyond that, it's, like, truthful. Like, I'm someone who really is all about truth. You know, I like having, like, a little bit of reality and fiction blended in when I'm watching my wrestling, and it's true. You know, like, yes, Rhea Ripley is a popular superstar, but if she wants to be on the level of a Charlotte Flair, someone who's, you know, a person that has been a mainstay at the top of the card, you got to beat another mainstay at the top of the card to do that. And then maintain afterwards, and I believe that there is some truth in what Rhea Ripley was saying, that she needs to defeat Charlotte Flair to cement that part of her career. She needs to cement that she is a main eventer, and by beating Bianca, she doesn't get that. No offense to Bianca Belair, but she's not, you know, she's still creating her legacy. Charlotte Flair is, you know, one of the most winning female superstars, probably, like, ever. And, you know, there's a reason that Bianca still wants to beat Charlotte Flair. You know, Charlotte Flair is the top of the mountain in WWE. Her and Becky. So, yeah, I really liked how this all worked. You could see that it made the match feel important, but it also made the match feel like something both people have to win. When you have that cocktail there of like two popular people, but two people who have to win, and some people are going to be cheering for one, some people are going to be cheering for the other, I think that that's like a recipe for success. So I really liked all this. I thought that it was something that their feud was very much needing. And now that they have it, I'm excited to see where they go next week. Because I hope they don't go back to the same thing they were doing before. I hope there's still something new to keep this momentum going forward in this program, to make it feel like it is worthy of a main event at WrestleMania. Because with Cody and with Roman, there's been so much story around this. We've seen segments on both shows multiple times. Like, it's very clear that that is the sell of WrestleMania. But Rhea Ripley is also a Royal Rumble winner, and if you want to make it have similar importance, then you need to have more segments like this, rather than just like chill talking segments that seem like that they're not going to actually want to tear each other's faces off. So I like this a lot. Huge, huge plus for me on this week's episode. Next, Sammy says that if he brought all this madness on himself, then it's time to face the consequences of his actions when he meets Jay in the ring soon. But first, we got Xavier Woods versus LA Knight. This was a fairly quick match that Woods won with the Backwoods Inside Cradle. I want to know what's going to happen with Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods is someone who should be on the card at WrestleMania. It's amazing to me that there isn't something more evident. I hope it's not just a battle royal. And LA Knight, I was already thinking this when he lost the ladder match, when he lost that Intercontinental title match, and he's talking about how there's no LA WrestleMania without LA Knight. I have a feeling he's going to be in the Legends spot where he comes out to talk crap about how he should have been on this show in a match, and we have a cavalcade of Legends come out to hit him with their finishers one by one. That's where I think this one's going. Imagine how cool it would be if they got The Rock. I know we wanted The Rock in a match, but I really just want to see The Rock on the show still in some aspect. And that seems like something he could just do. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. But I think LA Knight seems like he's ripe for that spot where he's just going to get the crap kicked out of him by a bunch of legends at WrestleMania. Next, they announced, well, it was announced earlier in the week, but they talked about how it's been announced this week that Great Muta will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I was kind of surprised there wasn't like a full video package on the Great Muta being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I always really like those video packages that they do. So I was a little surprised to see someone of that stature, you know, someone like the Great Muta, not get the full package treatment. That surprised me. But yeah, I mean, obviously Great Muta deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, no questions asked. The guy is an absolute legend of the industry. WCW, you know, still wrestled forever after. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. This class is actually interesting so far. There hasn't, you know, Rey Mysterio, I guess, but we haven't gotten like it's been different than Hall of Fame announcements of the past. We got an active superstar, we got a guy who's an international person as the first two names announced for the Hall of Fame. That's interesting to me. I like it. Two legends. I think if you want to make the Hall of Fame seem important, you put guys like that in the Hall of Fame, Rey Mysterio's, Great Muta's. I was pumped on this. I'm wondering who's going to induct him into the Hall of Fame. LA Knight approaches Rey Mysterio backstage after this and talks some crap about the Dominik situation, so he gets punched in the mouth for it. Then we get Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. IC title shot at Mania on the line here against Gunther. These two beat the hell out of each other for 10 minutes, then ran at each other, hitting big boots at the same time. This knocked both of them out, and the ref began to make a 10 count. Before he could finish, though, Gunther got into the ring and yelled at the ref, then started yelling at Drew and Sheamus. And Imperium attacked Drew and Sheamus from behind during this, causing a no contest. Gunther then powerbombed Sheamus onto McIntyre before walking away with the Intercontinental Championship. Before he could make it to the back, though, Pierce came on the Titantron and announced a triple threat match at WrestleMania for the IC title. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. That's going to be, well, I mean, there's only one word to describe it, right? Banger. It's going to be a banger. I love this. I had kind of for a while been expecting Drew McIntyre versus Gunther at WrestleMania. But now that it's a triple threat and they're playing off of the Clash at the Castle match to kind of run it back to some degree with a new wrinkle in it, I love it. I think that's brilliant booking. If you want a meaningful IC title match, you have, you know, big time competitors for it. And you got two former world champions here trying to get that Intercontinental Championship from Gunther. I'm also convinced that this is where Gunther drops the title, like I've said, but he doesn't even have to get pinned to do it. That's the brilliant part here. Gunther can maintain his full momentum by just not being pinned. Someone else, I'm guessing Sheamus, pins Drew McIntyre. Sheamus becomes Intercontinental Champion. And then Gunther can move to Raw and challenge Cody Rhodes. Yes, I've said this so many times, but that's where I think this is going to go. That's what I think his first feud is going to be post-WrestleMania when he's champion. He's going to get confronted by Imperium. That's my guess. I don't know. Either way, I'm pumped on this IC title match. They've done such a good job of, you know, taking that IC title and really upping its value ever since Gunther became champion. I really was disappointed in other IC title runs prior to that people had. But Gunther, man, like, I don't think people could have ever expected Gunther to have this kind of a run with it. And that's from, you know, people who have been fans of his. I just don't think that a lot of people would have seen that happening. Now, it helped that Triple H took over rather than Vince. I think once that happened, it was much more easy to see. But even still, that guy, man, Gunther, has had such a run as IC champion. He's become such an imposing force. And all the while, never even having to interact with the Bloodline at all, the other top heel faction on the show. Very smart to keep the distance between them. You could have easily had something, but the fact that they've just kind of kept them apart and kept both of these factions strong the whole time has been a masterstroke move. Really like it. Lastly, in this show, we had Jey Uso coming out. He gets immediately met by Sami Zayn. Sami says, "You wanted me to pull up? I pulled up. So how do you want to do this?" Jey talks about how he didn't trust Sami from the start. And even as everyone else did, he stood firm. He always viewed himself as having to protect the family. And the one guy he finally let his guard down for betrayed him. Jey said that he didn't have a choice, but Sami cuts him off saying that's not true. He's had a choice since day one and kept making that choice. "I don't think you're mad at me, Jey. You're mad at yourself. You're just mad you didn't get to hit Roman with that steel chair first." All right. I'm going to get to the rest, but I just wanted to say, this was great. That line, that this just small last section right here about not being mad at me, you're mad at yourself, and the way that Jey took that in and tried to deal with that in his mind, you could see him, it registered with him, and he was not happy with it because it's the actual truth of this story. The Jey Uso character got forced into the bloodline to protect his brother, Jimmy Uso. He even says in here, he always viewed himself as having to protect the family. He had to protect the family by coming into the bloodline. That's why he came into the bloodline, and he's been there trying to protect Jimmy this whole time. So when he says he's been trying to protect the family, I don't even think he's talking about Roman necessarily. He's talking about protecting his own family. That's why he was there. He was protecting Jimmy the whole time. That's why he joined the bloodline. And I thought that this was such smart storytelling, writing, callbacks. It was all that stuff combined into one because Sammy's telling the truth here. The character of Jey Uso is most angry at himself. He sees himself in Sami Zayn and realizes that Sami Zayn had the balls to do what he did not. Great, great storytelling there. Like that subtext of everything going on there is so good. Now, like I said, this bit of reality didn't go over well with Jey. And finally, he hits Sammy with a punch. Jimmy Uso then arrives, and it's 2-on-1 as they gang up on Sami Zayn. They hit Sammy with the steel steps, and Sammy's knocked out. But then Kevin Owens finally makes the save and takes out both Usos on his own. Sammy gets up after this, and finally, as the crowd chants, hug it out, they do just that in the ring. As Cody watches on from the monitor in the back with a smile on his face. And we got Sammy and KO finally dropping their beef for one common goal in taking out the bloodline once and for all. So good. That pop was massive. The pop when they finally hugged was massive. That crowd is so invested in this story. The WWE audience is more invested in this story than anything else in the company right now. And I'm not saying they're not invested in Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. I'm just saying they're even more invested in the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Usos story. That's how popular this thing is right now. It's universally praised by everyone. And so when they finally were able to move past that beef and hug it out, to show that they're homies again, God, the people were happy. I was happy. I was watching on my TV, just like cheering at the TV, like, yes, finally. Here's the thing, though. My one real takeaway from this, because you don't need to sit here and listen to me talk about how much I loved this. You loved it. I know we all loved it. I'm not being critical of this because there's nothing to criticize. It was done to perfection. They had the crowd in the palm of their hand. It made Kevin Owens look like the coolest, best friend to finally drop his beef. It made Sami Zayn, you know, the babyface he's continued to be. But when I watched this, you know, in the weeks leading up to this show, for weeks now, the online narrative has been, if we get the Usos versus Sammy and Kevin, they have to main event that night. Night one needs to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. And I wasn't sold on that. I wanted to wait and see how it played out. But now we have waited to see how it has played out. WrestleMania is rapidly approaching. And there is no other story in the company right now that people are more invested in. Yes, the Charlotte Rhea Ripley thing was awesome. Yes, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns fans are super into. But the people who watch every week, the people who pay to be in the stands, the people who buy merch, the people who buy these shows, they want to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in the main event of night one. And at this particular point, I don't think there's any reason to not have them in the main event of night one of WrestleMania. That's just the bottom line to me. I just can't see it any other way. It's too good of a story. The people have spoken. You want to reward the people. You want to reward the superstars who have been putting on an excellent story for a year now. You want a story like this to culminate in the main event of WrestleMania. So I really hope that even though it's not attached to the Royal Rumble, that even though there's not a world title in it, I think that a main event of WrestleMania should be the tag title match between the Usos and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And there's nothing you could probably do to convince me otherwise. I love the Royal Rumble. I love making sure that the importance of the Royal Rumble is there. But I am sorry. You want to end the show with the thing that people are most invested in. And that is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. All right. I'm done here. My throat, I gotta go take some NyQuil or DayQuil, whatever. I'm gonna take some DayQuil and hope for the best. I gotta get better by next week, because next week is when Stone Cold's 100th episode comes out of character. I'm so excited for that, but I'm also gonna be recording my 2-year anniversary episode next week, and I got another big guest, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, make sure you're following WWE on Fox on social media, at WWE on Fox, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure that you leave a rating or a review for this show if you enjoy listening to it. I appreciate those very much. And also make sure you subscribe to the WWE on Fox YouTube channel. That's where you can find Out of Character on video every Wednesday, clips and YouTube shorts as well on that channel from Out of Character, and also clips from Raw and SmackDown. So don't forget to go subscribe to the WWE on Fox YouTube channel. All right, that's it. I'm done. Officially tapping out for now. Until next time, I'm Ryan Satin, and this has been the WWE on Fox SmackDown Roundup.